Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it's time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author, Dr. Stanley Ridgely, clinical full professor of strategic management at Drexel University, holding a doctorate and master's in international relations and security from Duke University and an international MBA from Temple University, a Russian language linguist and former military intelligence officer. And his book is DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education. And boy, have we really seen what I have long felt to be coming around the bend. I mean, just the college campus protest that we saw after October 7th, to me, was the clear result of DEI. And now with the Trump administration in there fighting back, this is all so very relevant. And I guess I would just want to start out asking you, is that really a connection there, as I've seen it, and I think so many others, and how is it that DEI has become such a destructive force in our education system?
Well, hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on the show. I do appreciate it. This is an important issue, and I think that we have reason to be optimistic that this abomination of DEI is being rolled back in our universities thanks to the current administration. And you are exactly on the spot with regard to October 7th, 2023, and the anti-Semitic responses to that attack on the college campuses being in the realm or being the responsibility of DEI. I have an entire chapter in my book, DEI Exposed, on that very thing of how the template for DEI was basically applied to this Middle Eastern conflict between basically the only democracy and the only civilized country in the area and this terrorist organization. And it's the links are clear with what's going on the college campuses with regard to DEI, which indeed is the biggest con of the century in terms of what higher education has experienced. And it's, you know, you asked, how did we come to this sorry state of affairs? Well, it began, and I should say accelerated, in summer of 2020 with the BLM riots, and a lot of college presidents said, hey, we don't need that on our campuses. And very much like Jesse Jackson's Operation Push back in the 80s and 90s, where people said, hey, you know, he said, hey, that's a nice university you got there. Be ashamed if something happened to it. Why don't you donate to our organization here? Well, the very same dynamic was put in place and was accelerated, and basically college administrations, presidents, spineless college presidents, bought into this myth of DEI, the myth being that America is a racist country, irredeemably so, that is riven with white supremacy culture, and that all whites are racist, and that all persons of color, as it's convenient, are victims of this racism. And that's the con story. And a bunch of, and I say like hundreds upon hundreds of these modestly educated people with no discernible skill set flooded onto the campus with exorbitant salaries to basically train people that this vision of America that they have concocted is somehow true. And so that's kind of the genesis of DEI Exposed. And I go into great detail about the people, the policies, the schools, the names, and the techniques and what we can do to rein it in, focusing on the executive orders of the new administration in bringing accountability to our colleges and universities.
It is such an apparent gaslighting scam. And yeah, you just even look at the terminology, and the left is good at Antifa really does seem to represent fascism. They present themselves as anti-fascist. Those who are always claiming to be anti-racist are actually seemingly the most racist. And DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, anywhere that you see it implemented, it appears to be quite the opposite. Like, there's no diversity of thought. You have to believe this one thing. You know, you've got to believe this class over here is the victim. This is the privilege. There's no inclusion of other thoughts. And certainly equity doesn't appear to, in reality, be at play either because of the way that different races are treated in an unequitable manner. How are they able to take this position and yet behave in the exact opposite and somehow pull that off?
Well, you hit the nail on the head again, the fact that there's a front stage of DEI and there's a backstage of DEI. The front stage is the public face of DEI that looks noble, you know, noble, right, and proper and moral. And people, generally speaking, you know, people of goodwill say, hey, you know, this sounds pretty cool. Who could be against diversity, equity, and inclusion? And in fact, they might be correct if that was exactly what was being done, because that sounds kind of enlightenment inspired. And the mission of the university as it's been in existence for, you know, and certainly in the last 300 years. But that's not what DEI is all about. That's the front stage. The backstage is the actual, and let me say the front stage is basically, we want to give everyone a fair shot, at the brass ring, all created equal, just teaching about slavery, teaching about race, and it's really none of those things. And if any of those things actually happen, it's merely as a byproduct or unintended consequences of what they actually do. The backstage is terribly toxic and noxious. They being the DEI people, the cadres, conduct trainings to divide people into two groups, and two groups only. One is oppressors, the other is oppressed, exploiters and exploited, evil and good, villains and victims. This is what they do. I document this extensively in DEI Exposed, and I think that you ask the reason why they're able to do this, because most people of goodwill, don't know, and they don't want to know. They want to look at DEI as a kind of an empty decanter, and they want to be able to pour their own good feelings into it and talk about that. And I found this again and again and again with smart people who are good-hearted people, and they despise people who are against DEI, people who are knowledgeable of what it really is. It's racialist. It is divisive. When I say divisive concept, that's what we mean. We mean there's dividing people into villains or victims by virtue of their skin color. It's paranoiac. It's paranoid behavior. They're teaching people into mental illness, and they're teaching a doctrine that is an alternative reality to what most people actually experience in their own lives.
We're talking with our author of the week, Dr. Ridgely. The book is DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education. With the last election, I think that signaled to a lot of people inside a bubble that maybe most Americans aren't supportive of this divisive approach. And so a number of the different companies out there that had really marketed themselves as embracing DEI began to back away from it. Some have stayed with it. But I think that potentially, I just want to get your thoughts on it. I'm suspect that some of these institutions primarily that have indicated that they're backing away from it are probably just giving it a different name, couching it as something else. What is it that people need to be wary of? Are there, you know, signals, if you will, or different that you're finding pop up iterations of DEI? What do people need to be wary of?
Well, I think that, you know, I talk about this on the college campus, particularly because students they're particularly vulnerable because of the authority figures they encounter on campus. They're freshmen or might even be minors, and they're moving into a new phase of their life away from home and et cetera, et cetera. And I would say, don't trust these people. What you have to be wary of is people who want to inflict this type of ideology on you require that you trust them. And they require that you give them your trust, make yourself vulnerable, as these are their words, disclose your personal issues, your parents, your income, your friends. And this brings to the table a whole raft of things that they can attack you on. And they will attack you. Because to convince someone that they are guilty of something they have nothing to do with, that they are complicit in a white racist society, white supremacy society, this is bizarre when you think about it, has nothing to do with anyone's lived experience. It has to do with an alternative reality that these people are trying to impose on people. So my advice would be, and in corporate America as well, you go into a training session and you think that, oh, this is just going to be about, you know, and understanding each other, getting along. No, it's none of that. It's none of that. And it never is. These are people who believe in an ideology, and they are professing an ideology in companies and in the universities. And I think the reason we're seeing a rollback is that people are finally saying, hey, you know, I didn't buy into this. And the fact is that I believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion in my own definition of it, which is very much like the Enlightenment University and what we all have always believed. And this is actually, you know, fairly true. The university is a marketplace of ideas. Different ideas come regardless, irrespective of who has them. And those ideas contend. And we accept the good ones and we kind of reject the bad ones. This is how alchemy and astrology and various pseudosciences and superstitions were expunged from the university, this marketplace of ideas. The problem with DEI is that there's no criticism allowed, and that this ideology is going to be imposed on people in a coercive method way.
It seems to me one of the effective tools they use is the insecurity of people who feel that they're not equipped to intellectually argue against DEI. They'll come up against a premise that they recognize is true. For example, we had slavery, and that is then presented as this systemic form of our culture and government that has automatically put people today of color at a disadvantage. And then if you listen to you or you watch or listen to a Charlie Kirk or a Ben Shapiro, and you're like, oh man, well, what they're saying totally disassembles that. But most people aren't equipped to do that. And so I think they keep quiet because they're afraid that they will expose themselves as not necessarily being that informed. What do you say to those people who keep silent because they're afraid that they don't know how to really counter some of that narrative?
Well, the thing is, history is never going to change. No matter what policies you enact today, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, history is not going to change. And you'll look to DEI proponents who will point to the death of George Floyd or will point to the legacy of slavery. Well, those things are not going to change. You point to Rosa Parks, you point to Emmett Till. Those things will never change. And to use those as justification of today's programs, we have to look at today's programs. What do these programs actually propound? What do they actually say we're going to do? And I would say, if someone says that to you, the history of slavery or the legacy of slavery, so okay, that's fine. We agree on history. We agree on historical fact. Now, how is what you propound, what you offer here, how is that going to correct anything? And let's investigate what constitutes this program, because I think this is usually left hanging. I see this all the time. I get lots of hate mail, you might expect, and people are always referring to this historical legacy, and then they say, DEI initiatives, this is why we have them. I said, okay, fine. What are they? What are these initiatives that you're talking about? Let's not talk about this history, this event here, this event there, which is never going to change. You're using this as a kind of a prop or a justification to do something today that really has nothing to do that will remedy the problems that you supposedly have identified. I'll give you an example. At Princeton University, in 2020, 300 faculty and staff signed a letter accusing Princeton University of rampant racism. Well, Connor Friedersdorf of The Atlantic contacted the 300 people who signed the letter and said, can you give me an example of rampant racism, overt racism that has occurred at Princeton University in the last 15 years? Not a single person could give a single example of this rampant racism. And yet you find, well, the letter was justified by citing the murder of George Floyd that year. But it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on today and what it is you actually want to do here on the college campus. So I would focus on what it is you want to do. What are the trainings? And move away from this so-called justification, which is really a recitation of history that no one disagrees with.
My final question for our author of the week, Dr. Ridgely, and again, the book is DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education. The word almost suggests the door is still open slightly enough to save higher education in this country. It does seem as if it is so deep culturally, the damage that has been done by DEI. You can swap out heads of the universities, but the problem is still there. What hope is there? And what will it take in order to move us away from these destructive policies?
Well, I think universities have shown themselves, generally speaking, to be unaccountable and incapable of overseeing their own affairs. You saw the devastating violence against our Jewish Americans on college campuses for the past year. The hope that we have, the optimism that I have, is that the universities are now coming under the investigative eye of the Department of Justice and are being held accountable. And that's what we're talking about here, accountability. Three Ivy League presidents resigned last winter and spring because they were shown to have basically poor leadership skills and had allowed the situation to get out of control on their campuses. Well, if you will not control yourself, then the universities will have to be brought into line by the Department of Justice to obey the U.S. civil rights laws and recognize the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. I think we're in the midst of a sea change here, rolling back the authoritarians. These are people, I should say, that occupy these well-heeled, well-compensated bureaucracies. They're modestly educated, and they have no discernible skill sets. They really do not. They're ideologues, and their primary function is to train students, faculty, and staff into this alternative reality. And that is the truth, the ugly truth of DEI that I expose in my book, DEI Exposed.
Again, thank you so much. Our author of the week, Dr. Stanley Ridgely, and as he mentioned, the book, it's DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.